Mike, Max, Twins lose last night. Heartbreaker, Maxie, 3-2. I was out there. They had plenty of opportunities to win that thing.
Plenty. And, yeah, it was nice to see Rosario and Crone back.
Yeah.
And, of course, Buxton was out. That was a nice visit with CJ before the game. And he's, you know, he had a couple of doubles, but his thumb was aggravating him. And he brings those hands through the zone, really does a great job of it, but he uses his hands a lot. And his father, of course, a coach, so he's brought up the right way and knows how to hit and all those things. But it's funny, dude, because you just expect the Twins to win those.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to hit a home run. Somebody's going to do something. And, of course, the drama of that thing is it unfolded in the ninth inning. And, you know, it finally comes down to Nelson Cruz. And, God, he's such a good professional hitter. You don't win them all, and they didn't. But that was fun. And don't look now, but Cleveland won again, and you never know if they get back in this thing. So yeah, this is fun stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They'll make a trade here before the deadline, and everybody's amped up, and like you said, the intensity last night, and it's the Mets, and then it's Oakland, and it's the Yankees. This is all fun stuff.
It really is. There are plays, you go back to the first inning, which you as a baseball guy do too, but there is a fly ball out the center, and if Buxton had been in there, I don't think the guy would have run on him. It was a short, shallow shot, and he ended up scoring on that. But he shouldn't have been on third because Pineda and Castro had some communication issues, it looked like, right away.
Yeah, and they had him again in the eighth inning. Something happened. There was a pass ball, though. They didn't get hurt on it. But same kind of thing. And then they had the Strangers. You know, Twins got a break, too, because they got a Strangers double play. You're going to see Robinson Cano hits a little dribbler, and they turn it into a double play, get a guy at third as well. So there's lots of stuff that happened last night. But to your point again, with Buxton center field, that's why – little things just mean everything in this game. You know, if you stop one run from third base, it was just not one pass ball means just you give him one base, big deal. Well, that one base means he gets to third. He gets to third, he scores. They win by one run, game's over. You know, it's just fascinating and amazing. And just about every game that you see played in baseball, you can look back to one at bat and say, if that goes the other way, it probably would have been a different outcome, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because as Twins fans, we can say that we didn't play well. But if anybody that's not a Twins fan says that, we get all defensive. So, no, you can't do this. You can't say that. But what was cool in sitting down in the stands for the game, Maxie, is the enthusiasm by the people there. I mean, they love these guys. They just absolutely love this group of players.
They do. And I'll tell you something else that you saw last night as well that I didn't anticipate. I couldn't believe in downtown Minneapolis how many Mets fans I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's because, you know, if you're a Mets fan and they only come in within 300 miles or something once, you make sure you get to the game. But a lot of Mets fans, and that's why they brought interleague play into this, so that every once in a while you can go see your hometown team play at etc. So that, yeah, that's a lot of fun. And last night was you know, you're watching that, you're in the middle of July, you got a first place team. It's just a beautiful night. That's what it's about right there. You know, playing a close game and all those things. The Twins have won their share. Twins have done this and that. And Scope makes an error. Scope hits a home run. All that stuff. And then you end up with a 3-2 ball game. That's a pretty good targeted field night.
Yeah, you got guys in first and second. Nobody out. Looks like we're going to be here we go again. And then a rope. I mean, Gonzalez hit a rope to first base. Easy double play. And so it was just one of those nights.
Yep.
So Buxton now goes on a concussion list. And I'm sure he's probably working off migraines and things like that right now, the way he hit the turf there, Maxie. What do we know about him?
Yeah, so I talked to Rocco yesterday, and he said, you know, that was a violent hit that he endured on Saturday night. That was not just a little something. So what they've learned about concussions was probably different. You know, 2019 is they say inactivity, you're not doing anything. And then he had some migraine issues. Rocco described them as small migraines, and so I don't know, you know, exactly what that means, and they don't know if there's any connection to that because he had migraines before. So basically what they do in this day and age is they say, get off your feet, you're doing nothing. Now, that after that conversation, he was Buxton was due to meet with a doctor again, so I don't know what, you know, what came out of that, the meeting that he had late yesterday afternoon, I guess it would have been. But the first order of business was just to shut him down, get you off your feet. The one thing they know about concussions is they seem to heal better with inactivity. So limit the amount of things that you do and then just monitor it is the best way that, at least in this day and age, that we know how to go about it. But the small migraines is part of it as well. So It's a 7-day deal. It's a pretty good idea by Major League Baseball to have just a 7-day, because sometimes these guys come back quickly and it's not what you thought. But you want to get them out of the lineup and get them off their feet for a while. So that's the goal right now.
Lynx are out by a game and a half, and they play at home tonight against Seattle.
Yeah, up by a game and a half. I think only half game ahead for sixth place. I mean, that WNBA is all over the map right now. And Seattle comes to town. Seattle, of course, the WNBA champs last year, but that really means nothing because Stewart's out for the year and Sue Bird's not playing as well. So, you know, you're talking about two of your all-stars not in lineup. So Seattle's just another average team that's in the middle of this thing where it's kind of mucky and kind of fun because every week you can make, you know, you could end up in first place or fifth place just depending on if you have a good week or not. So I think Lynx are just fine tonight because Seattle's just okay. They're just an okay team. They don't have a lot of they got some firepower left, but Lynx are playing better, too, because they've played together now for a while with a lot of new players.
Hey, by the way, Joe Girardi going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour here. Talk a little baseball with him.
Awesome.
Look forward to that. Hey, Maxie, one other thing I want to bring up before you get out of here. Bryce Tesdall, the head coach at Eastridge, we watched him a lot last year. I know you covered them a lot, and I saw him play in the state tournament. Anyway, he's going over to Minnetonka as their new coach, and now I see one of their players, one of their stars, Kendall Brown, is moving.
Yeah, he's a great player, too, and Bryce got a nice offer there to go to Minnetonka. He's at New Prague and then went to Eastridge. They had great success, went to the tournament. He's Bob McDonald's grandson of the all-time winningest coach out of Chisholm, of course, and Bryce moved out. I see him at the health club now once in a while, so that's nice visits with him this summer. But he did a really nice job at New Prague and Eastridge. But Kendall Brown's a great player. And Eastridge has great players. They've got the other Brown and Courtney that graduated this year, and then Ben Carlson, who is on a lot of people's radar right now, has been since he was a young kid. So he's going to a prep school, and I'm not that familiar with this one. It's in Kansas. Most prep schools that I've seen him go to are either the East Coast or in Las Vegas, that Finley Prep. Rashad Vaughn went and some of them. But you don't want to see that because Eastridge has a nice program. He's a really good player. Eastridge still has a good team. A kid does what he's, obviously you do what you want to do to get to the next level, et cetera. But he's a good player, and that hurts Eastridge. And he was a fun guy to watch. And, Gonzaga was out last year when they were watching Suggs. They were also watching him. So he's a high-end recruit.
Well, I'd be all over Suggs and Chet Holmgren. I'm telling you, if Coach Pitino could get those two kids on his team, wow.
Yeah, and I just think, you keep hearing that Gonzaga's really got the inside edge on Suggs right now, is what you keep hearing. And then I heard that North Carolina's pretty tight with Dawson Garcia, the great player from Prior Lake, the big forward. I saw him play a couple weeks ago. They had the top 100 in Minnesota. I went over and watched that. It was a lot of fun to see all those good players and good coaches and all the college coaches there. And he's getting a lot of attention. So Dang Dang is going to Baylor, and so you circle that class. You go to Suggs and Garcia next, and that's exactly who Patino's got to work really hard right now to try to land.
Hey, come back in an hour, Maxie.
You got it. Thanks, Dave.
Traffic and weather up next here. He's Mike Max on WCCO Sports.